Once upon a time, there was a place unlike any other. A world of wishes and wonder that must be seen to be believed. Do you think you're ready for it?
Do you remember when you were a little kid and you had dreams, hopes of what the future could hold? Right, you dream big dreams like being the next dancer or singer, filling up stadiums, right? Your dreams were as big as your imagination could go. I remember when I was a little kid, I used to be dreaming and hoping that I would be the next Michael Jordan. I could see the shoe that they were gonna design with my name on it. I could see the highlights they would play of me doing things on the basketball court on ESPN. I could dream about hoisting that championship trophy and kissing it like all the sports players do. And I'm sure probably many of you have had dreams just like mine. Maybe your dream was to be the next famous chef on Food Network. Maybe it was to write a novel that would be produced into a movie. And maybe it was to create the next Amazon or be the next singer who fills up stadiums to hear your concerts. See, we've all had dreams. We've dreamt as a little kid and even into adulthood. But my question is, what happens when those dreams, those hopes are shattered? What happens when our dreams are taken from us, they're stolen? You see, it didn't take long into adulthood for me to realize that 5'8" on a good day, I wasn't gonna be the next Michael Jordan. But we all at some level have to face that reality of our dreams being taken away. You see, that's the setting of the movie Jingle Jangle. You see, if you haven't been with us, we started this brand new journey last week where we're looking at the culture's movies and using them as illustrations to remind us of biblical truths. Last week, we looked at Arthur Christmas. We're looking at Christmas movies that maybe aren't on your watch list that maybe need to be. And so this morning, we're going to look at the musical called Jingle Jangle. And to set the backdrop of this story, Geronicus, one of the main characters, is a famous, great inventor. He has a storefront called Jangle and Things where kids and families can come to the store and experience all the things that he's creating and inventing. And Geronicus had a dream to invent something that would come alive. And he actually achieved that dream. He accomplished it only for it to be stolen by his apprentice, Gutherson.
That book of inventions can belong to us.
Those are the professor's inventions.
Those are your inventions. Those pages bear the sweat of your fingers. They're as much yours as they are his.
But that would be stealing.
Borrowing. Indefinitely. Together, we can build an empire, and the name Gustafson will shine brighter than 1,000 Spanish guys. And I, Don Juan Diego, will remain one and only one of a kind. It's easy. It's not stealing. When you borrow and
this fool will find a happy home in my belly. Gustafson.
Oh. where's the sun? Gotham's son!
You see, you can see it in Deronicus's eyes, that his dreams, his hope, have been stolen just like that. You can see the pain and the hardship that he's trying to navigate in this moment. And the question is how in this movie would Deronicus respond? And I think the reality for all of us is we can relate to Deronicus's feelings because we've experienced them. Sure, our circumstances might look a little bit different, but all of us in life have had to endure painful, hard, difficult moments. We've had to navigate storms where life throws us a curveball and causes pain in our life. And the question I have for you this morning is, how do you respond when life goes like this? How do you respond? What choices do you make when you face the reality of painful, difficult circumstances in your life? What do you do when you lose somebody you love? Or what do you do when you never find someone to love? Or when your business seems to fail, or your family begins to fall apart, or someone hurts you? How do you respond to those painful, difficult moments in life like Deronicus is facing? You see, for many of us, it often causes us to drift away. It causes us to lose our belief in people and in relationships, and more importantly, in God. It causes us to doubt. It causes us to lose our hope. And what's interesting is in the Bible, Jesus talks about people like this in a parable of the sower and the seed. And he talks about seed that is tossed out in different circumstances and how it responds to the elements of life. We see this parable in Matthew 13. We start in verse 18 where Jesus begins to explain to his audience this parable. Look what he says. He says, listen to what the parable of the sower means. He says, when anyone hears the message about the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what was sown in their heart. This is the seed sown along the path. The seed falling on rocky ground refers to someone who hears the word and at once receives it with joy. But since they have no root, they last only a short time. Listen to this. He says, when trouble or persecution comes because of the word, they quickly fall away. The seed falling among the thorns refers to someone who hears the word, but the worries of this life and the deceitfulness of wealth choke the word, making it unfruitful. So Jesus describes in this parable people, all different types of people, as seeds and how they respond to things in life. He talks about people who endure hardship and pain in their life and how it causes them to quickly fall away, to doubt, to give up, to lose their hope. And what Jesus is really teaching is that trouble in life tests our belief. When we walk through difficult circumstances or storms in life, we have a choice on how we are going to respond. How we are going to respond to the situations in life. That's where Deronicus is in his life. He has a choice. How will he respond? How do you respond when trouble comes your way? What does your belief look like in these moments? And the truth for Deronicus is the hard circumstances were just beginning. It would get worse. And the question is, as he faced each painful moment, how would he respond?
But the magic, it seemed, had escaped him. And soon,
good luck, Jangle.
So would everything else.
Thank you. Jessica tried to fill the space left behind, but the loss was too great, and Jessica too small.
Eventually, it became clear. She hadn't lost just one parent, but two. Broken, defeated, Geronicus insisted she'd be better off without him. And finally, she granted his wish. And Jangles and Things, once a world of wishes and wonder, was no more. And Geronicus Jangle, the greatest inventor of all, vowed never to invent anything ever again.
You see, the hardship that Geronicus faced caused him to lose belief that the greatest inventor of all would vow to never create, invent again. And you could slowly see throughout this musical his faith, his belief fading, going away. He forgot who he was. He lost his identity. And the truth is when we face hardship in life, we can easily follow in those same shoes. We can easily, when we go through hardship and difficulty and the storms of life rage in our life, the reality is we can quickly lose our identity. We can wonder, as a child of God, someone who believes in Christ and what he's done, to quickly wonder and doubt in the storms of our life, does God really care about me? Am I really a child of God? Because if I was a child of God, how could God allow me as his child to go through this? Why wouldn't he spare me, intervene for me, rescue me as his little girl or little boy? And many of us feel this way. You see, we can relate to Geronicus' story because at some level it might feel like your story. Maybe it's an event or a circumstance or a storm from your past where you've had to navigate the pain and the hardship, and you've always wondered, you've always questioned, why would God let me go through this? Why wouldn't he spare me from that? And those questions continue and those doubts continue to get bigger and bigger. Or maybe it's you right now, where you're walking through really difficult scenarios and situations this Christmas. And you're wondering, and as you navigate the difficulty, your faith and your belief and your trust in God is slowly fading. And this is Geronicus' story. As he faces the hardship that comes his way, his belief fades. And the truth is when this happens to us, when we lose our belief, it often steals our hope. It steals the hope of a brighter future. It steals our hope that we can get through this, that we'll make it through. When we lose our belief and our trust in God and his faithfulness, we can no longer see brighter days. Geronicus was trapped. Trapped in the painful circumstances. And the question of the movie is, what would be the thing that would come and spark his belief again? Well, it came from a unique place, from a little girl, his granddaughter. Her belief in him would be the spark that would begin to change this inventor.
Whoa! What's happening?
Bingo!
You see my work now?
What are you doing up here? What have you done?
I told her not to touch it, but she's not a very good listener.
The contract clearly stated you were not to touch, move, bust, break, or take anything from this shop. Do you remember?
I didn't move.
You expect me to believe that it just got up and walked over here?
Well, actually, he flew.
That's not possible.
Watch. I'll show you.
Like this.
You see? You see? I told you. It doesn't work.
He does. You just have to believe.
Professor, you really are the greatest inventor of all.
I'm not an inventor. And you're not an inventor either.
But Grandpa.
Enough already, okay? Enough. Nothing would make me happier than if this worked.
It does. You have to believe me. I'm telling you the truth. I would not lie to you, Grandpa.
I need you.
Please.
I need you to go to bed.
I don't want to go to bed. I want to stay up here and fix this. Please.
Good night,
Journey.
Please,
Grandpa.
Oh, will you listen to me? Go!
You see, you can't see it yet, but this little girl's belief in her granddad would be the thing that would spark his belief. And isn't that true? When trouble comes in our life, sometimes we need someone to believe for us. We need people in our life to remind us of the truth, because the reality for all of us is when we face hardship in our life, when we walk through hard circumstances, that trouble in life can often blind us to the truth. When our circumstances are so big and so heavy, we have a tendency not to be able to see beyond them, to know the reality of the situation or the truth that exists, because we're blind to it. You see, these little kids can see in their granddad, right, that he is the greatest inventor, even if he can't see it. And sometimes you need people to tell you the truth in hard circumstances. And the truth is that God is and always has been and always will be faithful to you despite what you walk through. Even if you can't feel it or see it, God's faithfulness is present. This reminds me of my son, Baylor. You see, in the Karshner household, we have 4 children, and our youngest is named Baylor. He's about 2 years old, and he's the baby, and so he's a little bit spoiled, and if we're honest, he kind of runs the show in the Karshner household. And if you watch Baylor, it doesn't matter where he is or what he's doing, when you watch Baylor throughout his life, you will notice that there is one thing that Baylor never does. One thing that he never interacts with at this point in his life, do you know what it is? It's worry. Baylor never worries. He doesn't wake up in the morning and worry about breakfast or lunch or dinner. He doesn't worry about what's on his schedule. The anxiety of life hasn't hit him yet. And is that just because he's young and naive? I don't think so. I think it's because Baylor has seen a pattern in his life of the faithfulness of his mom and his dad. That he knows that mom and dad got this. And so I don't have to worry about if we're gonna pay this bill or not, or if we're gonna have food to eat on our table, because I've seen my mom and dad come through. And do you wanna know the truth for your life today? Is when you walk through hardship and difficulties, I think what God wants from you is that same stance. That I know this is going to be hard, but I have a pattern in my life of God's faithfulness to me, that no matter what I walk through, I know he will be faithful to me now. Because my dad has got this. My heavenly Father has got this. This is what God wants for us in these hard and difficult seasons in our life, is to trust that he will be faithful. When we face hardship in this life, when we begin to doubt, remind yourself that God has been faithful. And you know what we celebrate on Christmas? The faithfulness of God. That while we were slaves to our sin, in debt to it, captivated by it, what did God do? He loved you enough to send his one and only son to come to this earth, to die in your place, to give you victory over it. You see, Christmas is all about the faithfulness of God. And so as Geronicus faces these hard circumstances, as his little granddaughter reminds him to believe, it was that spark that would change Geronicus's heart. And it happened in the right time to save his little granddaughter.
Grandpa Jay, just believe!
Okay. Stay there. Stay there. Velocity, centrifugal force, point of inertia. Okay, 45 seconds. No.
Time's in the clock.
1500 feet.
Summation.
Okay. Blades are moving at 500 revolutions per hectosecond. You have to get caught in the current of the blades, which will sync with the speed of the crate in the path of inertia. You have to enter at a 35 degree angle at exactly 1500 feet per minute. You will make it through.
Okay, Grandpa Jay, I love you.
So this little girl's hope and belief changed this man's heart. So as we look at this story and we look at the parable that Jesus talks about, our own faith in the midst of trouble and hardship, today I just have two questions for you as we wind down this morning. The first question I have for you is, are you losing your faith because of hardship in this world? Is your story much like Geronicus's? As you've navigated pain and hardship and loss in your life, has it caused your faith to slowly fade? Have the doubts become so big that your trust in God is fading away? It surprises me that in my line of work, as I counsel and love people through difficulty, how many times I see them walk away from God because of hardship in this world. And it's at some level surprising, because doesn't the Bible clearly teach us that we will face hardship? Isn't that just the result of sin in our world, right? When sin entered the picture, it cursed everything, broke everything, brought pain and death and hardship and difficulty. And doesn't Jesus even warn us of this? What does he say? He says, in this world, you and I will have trouble. I don't know where we bought the lie that if we choose to trust in Jesus, we make him our leader and our forgiver and our savior, that he's magically going to take every hardship away in your life. Can I tell you today, that is a lie. But he does promise you one thing. He says, you'll have trouble, but you can take heart. You can have hope, because I've overcome the world. I've overcome for you. You see, as Christians, we don't have some naive belief that everything's going to get better because of Jesus in this world. It's not going to. Things will be hard, but we have the hope that one day, because of Jesus, every painful moment, every tear, every hardship will cease because of him. And so we take heart and we endure the hardship now for the hope later. And so can I encourage you today? Do not allow the hardship of this world to lie to you to surrender your faith and trust in him. And that leads me to my second question. Is it time that we change the object of our faith. Faith is a reality for all of us. The question really is what are we putting our faith in? Is it worthy of our faith, or is it misplaced? You see, many of us, we place our faith in something that's not strong enough to withstand the hardships of this world. We place our faith in our circumstances or in ourselves or in a relationship. And when our faith, the object of our faith is in those things, our faith is only as strong as what's in front of us. That's why many of us, we can't see past the cancer or the disease that we're facing. It's why we can't see past the marriage that's struggling right now, or the bills that we can't pay, or the job that we lost. It's why we can't see past the spouse that we never had. Because when you put your faith in the wrong object, your faith is only as strong as your circumstances. And so for some of us today, our faith is really good when life is good. But when life stinks, so does our faith. And it's because we've placed it in something that isn't strong enough, mighty enough. Jesus describes this type of person in the parable. He says what? When trouble, when hardship, when difficulty or persecution comes because of the word, what happens to this person? Their faith quickly falls away. They give up hope. They no longer trust in God because their faith was in the wrong thing. Timothy Keller says it like this. He says, if you're falling off a cliff, strong faith in a weak branch is fatally inferior to weak faith in a strong branch. Salvation is not finally based on the strength of your or my faith, but the object of our faith. So can I ask you today, where is your faith at? What is your faith placed in? You bank it on your faith in you or this relationship or your circumstances that will eventually be faulty? Is your faith in something strong enough to withstand the trouble that Jesus says will come? Where is your faith? And listen, I get the reality of Christmas. It's really hard. It's really difficult to watch everybody around you celebrating and laughing and enjoying the holiday when you are struggling and enduring hardship. And if that's you today, I want to encourage you with Jesus' words. He says, I've told you these things so that in him, despite the hardship and the trouble, you can have peace. He says, in this world, there will be trouble. But take heart. He has overcome. And so the truth of that today is no matter what you face in life, no matter what trouble is brewing in your life today, because of Jesus, that he came to this earth and died in your place and resurrected, you today, despite your trouble, can have hope and peace. And because of Jesus, you are victorious. So let's pray together. Father, we praise you today in the midst of our storms as we endure and we persevere. Remind us, God, that you are bigger than our storms. You've already overcome, and as we endure and as we persevere the trouble in this world, may we cling to the peace you give us, and may we long, may our hope anticipate that one day, it will be over because of Jesus. We praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.